Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Whether beginning a yoga practice, a meeting, or simply starting the day, setting an intention is part of my everyday ritual. I love wearing beautiful reminders of my intentions throughout the day, and one of my favorite ways to do just that is by wearing Satya jewelry. The original yoga-inspired jewelry brand, Satya jewelry was founded 15 years ago by philanthropist, yoga teacher, and Reiki healer Satya. The name Satya, meaning truth in Sanskrit, inspires each wearer to find and live their individual truth. Semi-precious gemstones renowned for their ancient healing properties are combined with 18-karat gold plate, sterling silver, and sacred symbols to create jewelry that brings peace and hope to everyone who wears them. Rooted in a mission to inspire, Satya jewelry is designed with love and intention for your own individual journey. One of my favorite pieces is the angelite mala that is hand-knotted on 100% silk. Another beautiful element to Satya jewelry is how they give back. Satya's background in social work and passion for early childhood education sparked the creation of Satya Foundation, a nonprofit organization that has helped raise over $1 million for children all over the world. No matter what path you are on in life, you can find a symbol or a gemstone that speaks your truth at Satya Jewelry. Go to satyajewelry.com/yogagirl and sign up for 25% off for From the Heart listeners. That's satyajewelry.com/yogagirl and sign up for 25% off. satyajewelry.com/yogagirl. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. Today, I have such a fun guest on the show, an absolute breath of fresh air, Violet Benson. She's a social media superstar and feminist comedian, otherwise known as Daddy Issues. And I'm so excited to have her on the show. Welcome to From the Heart, Violet.
Hi, thank you so much. It's so nice to be here. I was really excited when you reached out. I'm really excited to be on this podcast.
I'm so excited to have you because you're not our usual norm for this show. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of, like, you know, yogis and wellness people, and you're one of my favorite people on the internet, and I'm so excited to have some contrasting personality on the show. It's super needed.
Thank you. And if it's any consolation, I've done yoga like a few times before, so.
Oh, and how was that?
You know, actually, one time I got really into hot yoga during my breakup with my second boyfriend. I got into hot yoga, and it was like, because I always say when you break up with someone, you have to become obsessed with something. And I remember after my second breakup, I got obsessed with hot yoga, and that's how it helped me get over my second boyfriend. And it, I swear, like, I remember every time in the end when the teacher, you know, she like gives you some advice or she says something inspiring, like I would tear up or cry every time in the end because, you know, it was helping me get through my breakup. But I think like when I got older, I just got like more stressed, and then suddenly being in yoga, I'd be like, oh my God, how much longer?
But wait, is this like a rule of thumb? This is a rule of thumb that works. So after a breakup, you have to become obsessed with something. How does that go?
Yeah. So, I'm about to say some show that I'm on. I don't mean to promote it, but like I have a show on Facebook called Top 5 with Violet Benson. And I just posted an episode about like five ways to get over someone. And I believe that one of the ways to get over someone is to become obsessed with something, because after a breakup, you're so obsessed with that person because you're thinking like, why did they dump me? If you're going through a break, even if you dump them, you're still thinking about them and you're missing the good stuff and it's constantly in your head. So you have to get busy with something else. I think it's a good thing for anyone trying to get over any bad habit. Because when you break up with someone, I look at it as like you're going through rehab for yourself. So in order to go through rehab from the person you're obsessed with, like you have to start, you know, obsessing over something else. So
oh my God, second breakup, as you say this, say this, I'm realizing like I got super into yoga, like really, really into yoga for the first time right after a breakup, actually.
You see? So you need to thank your ex-boyfriend for your success.
Oh my God, this is so funny. It never even occurred to me until you just said it. I have to share. You are just my guilty pleasure. I have so many girlfriends because I live in Aruba and most of my best friends are like, some are in the States, some are in Sweden, like they're all over the place. And I have friends that I like only communicate with these days by tagging, like we tag each other in your social media posts. Like we don't even talk
anymore.
And
that's how you know the friendship is real. The friendship is real when you don't really talk often, but you tag each other and meme.
I know, constantly, every day. I mean, it's just, you're my favorite funny account of all. And for anyone who's listening, because I know this is not maybe your usual demographic, I would kind of like to, you know, start at the beginning a little bit because you have this hugely popular social media presence and it's just growing and growing. And at least from my point of view, you're becoming a really big voice when it comes to feminism, maybe in a really, you know, like slightly controversial way, which I love. It just seems like you're so yourself and that you're so comfortable in your skin and you're just this able to raise women's voice, especially on such a what has been, I think, like a very manly type platform, like, you know, right, memes and comedy and stuff. I feel like you're the only one of very few female voices. But for someone who doesn't know you, you know, Violet Benson, your daddy issues, how did you get started? Like pre-yoga, pre-breakup, pre-all of that.
So basically, I was born in St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm an immigrant in the U.S. When we were 14, we won the green card lottery. It's a thing. I don't know if some people are familiar with it, but green card lotteries are real. For now,
yeah, it's been in the news a lot lately. I know
right.
Yeah, but it's real and it's legitimate and it's not like a, you know. I mean, do you know more about that? Because it's been so, at least all over my news channels lately.
Right, and I try my best to stay away from politics and I know. I mean, to me, it was such a blessing. So it sucks about what's happening in the news about how it may be not be a blessing for everyone soon, which would be terrible, you know, because for me, like, I think it changed my life, winning the green card lottery. I also, even though I was born in Russia, I lived in Israel with my family when we won the green card lottery. So I lived in the Middle East. We won the green card lottery, so we were still thankful enough to win it. And, yeah, so when I was 14, we won it. We moved to the U.S. I had to start relearning English because English is my third language. And growing up with my father, who's a Russian immigrant man, he's very strict. So my whole life I grew up, like, you know, believing in having to work really hard, like work comes first, having a 9-to-5. And all I wanted was to make my father happy. So my sister became an attorney and I became an accountant. I have 2 degrees in accounting and business law. And that was my life. And my goal was to become a partner. But for some reason in my team, I was the youngest in my team because I was a special type of taxes that I was doing. It was city and state law or something like that, but it had to do with taxes. And the women in my team were just becoming so terrible to me. They were constantly focused on my looks because I don't know if people are aware what I look like, but whatever. Like, I'm 5'8", Russian blonde with double D's. It's not my fault. Like, it's just, you know, it's who I am. It's, you know, like, and I never focus on my looks. Like, for me, I was a really hard worker. I graduated college at 20. Like, I was just doing what I can to make my dad happy. And the women on my team were just starting to make my life miserable. They were not including me in things. They were making sure I don't get bonuses or making sure I don't get a raise or making sure I don't get promoted. It was miserable because they just always thought like everything had to do with my looks when it didn't. It got to the point that I would just cry in my car every day before walking into work. But I kept telling myself, like, you know, this is what an adult is like. Like, adult life is being miserable in a 9-to-5. Like, this is normal. You know?
Adults cry in the car before they go to work. It's totally normal.
Yeah, like,
this is what
this
it has
my
to
dad
be.
Told me. My dad told me, like, adult life is miserable, but, like, you know, I got to grow up. So I was trying to, and I was struggling. All my life, I was so into making people like me and love me, hence daddy issues. Like, in every high school, like, I would focus on becoming popular so people would like me. So it was very hard for me to understand accounting, why no matter what I did, these women didn't like me and I couldn't fit in. Like, it was hard for me to understand. So then I had no social media platforms, and just for the hell of it, one day I opened a meme account and called it Daddy Issues because I have it. I assumed other people had it, and if not that type of daddy issues, I assume like most people maybe, especially in LA, have like daddies, so maybe they could relate to it somehow. So I was like, you know, it's a relatable name.
Have so you ever regretted this name? Like, no. Have you ever regretted it? Have you ever had moments of like, oh my God, this name?
Yes. I had moments I regret the name because I started it for myself. So I never imagined that it could be big. And I never imagined that that could be like your job. So it was weird for me, I think, when I started to grow and suddenly when people started to recognize me, they're like, yo, daddy issues, like in the streets. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I should
have put
more thought
into this.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird, but I think I'm trying to help change the stigma of what daddy issues really is. Like, I don't think it has to be. One thing I tell everyone is to be themselves. I don't think it has to be you. If a woman has daddy issues, that means she's sleeping with everyone, taking off her clothes. Like, my type of daddy issues just means like I want to be loved, and I can get attached to people faster, and I'm scared that they're gonna leave me. So, and there's also men with daddy issues. Like, everyone has some type of issues with their parents, but I think my whole point is that you don't depend on those. You don't depend on your flaws and say like, well, I'm this way because, you know, my dad didn't love me or my mom didn't love me. Like, I'm telling you, like, just accept yourself and be happy with your life. Like, don't look at something that happened in the past and assume that this is the way you are and you can never change.
Right, right. So you started that account and it was just as a, you know, was it like an escape just to get away from the really hard time you had with those women at work?
This account that I started, it was anonymous because I was, you know, I didn't know who I was. I was very lost. Plus, I didn't want to focus on my looks anymore. To focus on making people happy or making myself happy without anyone looking at me. And that's kind of where I went with this. So I was posting things that I thought were weird about me. And then suddenly I would see people tagging their friends and being like, oh my God, that's so me. And I was just like, what? Other people could relate to this? Like, it's not just me. Like, what the hell? Like, I thought I was just being weird. And it became my obsession. So instead of focusing on how much my coworkers didn't like me, I became focused as an obsessed with this account. Like, I'm like, how can I grow it? How can I get celebrities to notice me? And I think I was lucky enough back 3 years ago when I started because I started like a new trend, which was, very female based, and it was all for women mostly and gay guys. And I think that's why my account managed to grow so rapidly and to get noticed. I think like right now, if I started a meme account, no one would care because there's so many out there. But I think I started like something new 3 years ago, and that's why I managed.
I mean,
to
it was really
kind of get big.
I mean, I started following you, I think, really, really early on. So before you were private with it, but when it was just a really anonymous account. Because one of my best friends tagged me in something, and it was I mean, at the time it was really controversial because it was about sex. It was about, you know, alcohol. It was about, you know, sleeping with a guy and then what happens. And, you know, no one was sharing that type of stuff. There's so many male accounts in that way where it's all about
I don't know, getting drunk or getting laid or just stupid stuff. But there was none that was just skewed from this female point of view where it was okay to kind of speak up about the fact like, okay, I have sex. It does not mean I'm a slut. You know, I can talk
exactly,
about this and just
yeah.
be super open and honest. And it was such a breath of fresh air because, yeah, no one else was doing that. But that was a really, yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago now. So I think you're right. Now you really did start that trend because there's more of it out there. But I mean, your presence is the biggest by far.
Thank you. And it helped me when I was growing that account and people made me feel like they're accepting me because they're like, oh my God, that's so me too. It made me feel like I think I was slowly finding myself because I think all these years I didn't really know who I was or what to be okay with. And this daddy issues was like my alter ego. And it was this cool girl that I wish I could be that was okay if she wanted to sleep with someone and not call him the next day, even though like I'm more of the attached one. So I almost felt like I had a split personality, but it was still really cool. And I think like I was slowly finding myself and gaining back my confidence with people making me feel like I'm not weird or like accepting my weirdness. And then the more I learned to accept myself and I finally became who I am, I noticed, oh my God, I'm actually helping other people too. Like I never thought it was crazy to me when I started to get different emails from people like, I'm the black sheep. I live in Louisiana and I'm the black sheep of my family. I'm 29 years old and my whole family doesn't know that I'm gay. And, seeing how you're so open about being the black sheep in your family, even though we have different issues, I'm finally like ready to come out. And to read something like that, I'm like, what? Like a meme of mine or just my caption, like inspired you to want to finally come out to your family at 29 years old. And it's all so, so heartbreaking as well to think like, till 29 years old, you were hiding who you really were. So, of course, I was like constantly emailing all these people back, and it was just amazing to know like I wasn't only helping myself; I was helping other people with my humor.
I mean, what a rewarding thing! So, was it really quick that did you give up accounting altogether, like just like that, or was it a long?
No, I think it took me like 6 months while I was doing it. It was growing, and like some celebrities started to follow me. I think my first celebrity though was Joe Jonas. So that was really cool. I was like, what? Joe just followed me?
Maybe and Joe Jonas has daddy issues too. Yeah.
No, I mean, he loved that account. All of his friends thought he was daddy issues. Like him and his friends had this game between them trying to pretend that each one was daddy issues. Like, and that's what I liked about being anonymous, because people would be like, pretend to their friends that they are me.
So how long did that last? So the anonymity of it.
So I was anonymous, and then for 6 months I was still working, but it was making me feel better. And then right after, because I started it in on July, and then right after New Year, like the day or a few days after New Year's, I was just really depressed, and I was like, "Yeah, this account is fun, but I'm still miserable at work." And then MTV wrote an article about me, about being like the most relatable female account worldwide. I remember I cried and I was like, oh my God, this could be a business. Because a few days later, I incorporated myself, handsome and accountant. So I turned myself into a business. And then 2-3 months later, I quit my job. So I would say I was at work for around 9 months before fully quitting and supporting myself financially fully via Instagram.
That's incredible. And the fact that, this is a big brand now. I mean, it's grown a lot just in this really short time. What I find is the most, I guess, I think the most interesting part of all of this is the feminist aspect of what you do. And I don't know if a lot of people look at it that way, but at least from my point of view, I feel really empowered when I read your stuff, even if it is, you know, some days about, you know, yeah, whatever, like feeling lazy, not wanting to get up in the morning or, you know, you talk about some maybe issues that can seem really trivial, but there's this underlying big theme of raising the voice of the woman. So how big of a part does that play in what you share?
Well, I think a big part because it's mainly for women, but I mean, I try to be open and make sure it's for men too. It's constantly, I think, trying to have a voice for women and trying to help women not be embarrassed, like, in everything. And or because, you know, like, one thing I like to just take things that we were embarrassed about and make women feel okay. Like, for example, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're constantly being called crazy, like, then let's make a joke about crazy because like, screw you, I'm not crazy, you're just an asshole, which is an article that I wrote.
You're not crazy.
I wrote that, but like, that's kind of what I want to, make girls feel okay, or like, I want to help them through their breakups, and I want to remind them to love themselves so then they're not constantly going back to some asshole. And I want to make women feel okay about if they feel like sleeping around, because it's their choice, and it's not fair when they have to feel ashamed versus a man can go around and sleep around. Like, I know with my first or second relationship, I had this, I had a Middle Eastern boyfriend. I mean, three of my exes were Middle Eastern, and from his culture, the way he was raised was that, you know, the woman had to be very conservative, and it's kind of like he was always cheating on me, but he made me feel bad if I even thought about, you know, like, looking at another guy. So I'm, like, sitting at home being so, like, a good girl, and he's having sex with everyone else, including, like, everyone, you know? And that's not fair. Like, why should I feel embarrassed about wanting to sleep with someone when he's doing it all around? Or, I mean, why should I stay with someone that's cheating on me? That's another story.
That's another story. Yeah. But no, I feel like a lot of people can really relate with this. And I hope that this, specifically through social media, that it's changing now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have five younger sisters, and four of them are in their teens. Like, they're literally from like 15 to 20 years old, all of them. And I kind of see how they're growing up and how they're dealing with their first relationships and getting attention from boys. And it seems to me that there is a different looking, at least from their eyes, than I had when I was 15, 16. You know, I had my sister the other day,
totally.
And we were talking about some boy that she liked. And then I said, you know, remember that you're always in charge. Like, you always decide where you want things to go. Like, if you don't want to see him anymore, that's totally okay. And she answered like, well, duh. Like, why would you tell me that? And I was like, well, when I was 15,
so
I needed to hear that. No one told me that. I didn't know. I had a lot of really shitty relationships because of that and felt taken advantage of. And she was like, what? Like, duh. Like, why are you telling me this? Like, you're stupid.
I also feel like with social media, I think we're becoming harder on ourselves. And that's why I think my account, I feel so happy that it's out there, because you go on social media now, and like, even 12-year-olds have kids, and like, they're posting like half like nudes on Instagram, and you're like, wow, this girl's so beautiful. I mean, not in a sexual way, because, you know, she's 12, but it's kind of like, even the 12-year-olds are becoming so beautiful, and like, oh, there's so many options on Instagram now, and then it makes you feel bad about yourself if you feel like, oh, these are, like, how come I don't look like that? And I think that's where my Instagram can come into play again, that like, making fun of us pretending like our life is so perfect on Instagram, or like, being honest that we all don't have it figured out, because then you see even that beautiful model you were envious of is tagging her BFF on a meme that says like, you don't have your shit together. Then you're like, oh my God, she can relate too. Okay. Thank God. You know,
everyone has the same insecurities. I mean, yeah, even that super picture perfect, you know, Instagram model, like, everybody feels the same. But that's the challenge of all of this. And I don't know if the really young people, like, if they're getting that, or what kind of generation that's coming out of this social media world, because it's so different.
Yeah. Well, the social media world is also all about bullying. And I think one thing I've made sure of my Instagram is to never make fun of anyone else. My jokes are always about myself. Like, sometimes I made some jokes about men in general, just because I wanted to give women some power, which I know isn't fully right. You know, if I made a joke about a man's height or a man's penis to give women feel empowered, which I know wasn't great on my end, but like, I do my best not to make fun of other people. And that's the whole point. So, because my whole thing is women should be friends with one another, not put each other down. So when you see a beautiful woman, like, you should be able to appreciate her beauty without wanting to put her down for it. You know, or
what,
like,
has your own?
Yeah.
No, and I mean, and you've had some experience with that yourself, personally, or no, growing up.
With women not liking me?
Yeah, or bullying, per se, because I know you're a big anti-bully, like, you speak about that a lot,
yeah,
publicly, and I find...
Oh, so you want to talk about that one thing.
Do you want to talk about that one thing? We don't have to, but...
No,
I find that there is a lot of people out there that do, I mean, also in the, from my side of, or in the yoga world, there's a lot of young women, young teens that find their way to yoga and meditation from coming out of really, really shitty places in school, or feeling like they don't fit in, mm-hmm. or being actually bullied. So I think it's Yeah, I love how you raise the issue and actually speak about it, because there are so many young people, most people that are on social media now, that are really, really active, that live this lifestyle. They are young and they do need more guidance. Maybe they haven't found their way. They don't, you know, they aren't confident enough to speak up and say, this is who I am. Deal with it, you know, don't have to change who I am to fit in.
Okay, I'll talk about it. Sorry, I was giving... I know you thought I was drinking wine, enjoying this conversation, but instead I was just giving my cat some cat food. So now I can, she was hungry and she kept meowing at me while I was on the phone. I was like, Mommy's busy. But she wouldn't stop, so, all right. Which, by the way, I found out I'm like highly, highly, highly allergic to my cat yesterday, which was really sad. So I'm kind of keeping
some distance from her. How is that possible? Isn't this cat your number one most important thing?
What?
How are you allergic to her? How are you allergic to her? How is that possible?
Because I've only had her for 2 years and I've never had pets before. I just didn't know. And then I just started to get sick all the time and getting really serious allergy reactions. And yesterday I finally did my test and I was like, they were like, you're allergic to trees. You're allergic to bushes. You're really allergic to cats. And then like least allergic, you're also a little allergic to dogs, to chocolate, to wine, to cheese. And I was like, so I'm basically just allergic to happiness.
That's the saddest thing ever.
Oh, I know.
God, I hope you figure that out. I hope you do figure that out.
You take more allergy medicine.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. I love my bed. Cozy mornings in bed with my family, husband, baby, and dogs is the best way to start my day. These moments have been made even more joyful by the comfiest bedding we cuddle into, bedding from Parachute. Parachute creates its products with conscious standards that align with some of my biggest values. Parachute manufactures its products in family-owned factories in Europe's regions that are renowned for creating amazing bedding. Each product is carefully crafted by fairly paid employees, and the fabrics are 100% natural, made without any use of harmful chemicals or synthetic softeners. Parachute also gives back both locally to Habitat for Humanity and globally to the United Nations Foundation Nothing But Nets. Over 12,000 life-saving bug nets have been donated to date, with a modern design of timeless natural color palettes and fabric that only gets softer with every use. Your bedding creates an absolutely beautiful impact in your home and our world. This holiday season, share the love of a great night's sleep with your friends and family. Visit parachutehome.com/yogagirl for free shipping and returns. And check out the new baby collection, including swaddle blankets, quilts, and luxurious cashmere baby blankets as well. You and your loved ones need this next level sleep experience. Visit parachutehome.com/yogagirl for free shipping and returns. Try it out for 60 nights, and if you don't love it, just send it right back. No questions asked. Go to parachutehome.com/yogagirl. Today. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co.
Anyway, so back to the bullying thing. I am a big advocate for depression and anti-bullying. I definitely have battled depression before, and I have anxiety, and I tried to talk about it. I haven't talked about it as much, but because I'm waiting to get behind some organizations before I fully talk about these things. But one thing that I think a lot of people don't know about me is that not only was I bullied in accounting, I was also bullied growing up in high school and middle school and all that. And I know a lot of people have too, but it's because I was born with enamel deficiency on my teeth, which just what it means is that not having any enamel, that means your teeth can't like protect you from anything. So you constantly have cavities and you need root canals and things like that since you're young. But it also means that your teeth are very yellow. Like they're just, it's just yellow stains and there's nothing you can do about it. And I was born like that. And I remember when I was five, I was walking and the school that I was in, I think it was from first grade till eighth grade. So I was in first grade going up the stairs. I was always a very smiley kid. And I remember I was going up the stairs smiling and these eighth graders saw me and they're like, what the hell? What's wrong with you? And they like pushed me to the corner of the stairs and like put me in a corner and they were like all laughing at me and they were like, dude, do you smoke? Like, why are you so yellow? Oh my God, dude, check this girl out. She smokes. That's insane. How do you smoke when you're five? And they just kept laughing and pointing and I was obviously crying. And I was so confused. I asked my mom to come pick me up and then my mom picked me up. I was like, Mom, why were they making fun of my teeth? Like, I never even realized my teeth were different than yours. Like, how come you guys don't have this? I'm like, Mom, why am I different? And she just like, you know, Mom trying to protect her child. She was just like, okay, well, you see, Violet, when God made you, you were so perfect and it wasn't going to be fair to all, to everyone else. So you had to just give you one little flaw so then it'll be okay. And I was like, oh, okay. And then at 5 years old is when we started getting me veneers and lumineers and bondings, like everything technology could get you at the time in Israel for my teeth. So I grew up basically with constantly changing my veneers and everything, constantly feeling different. Sometimes I would get bullied for it. Not to mention when I was young, I also had like acne on my face, on my chest, on my back. I had an overbite. So it just wasn't even enough that I also had like yellow teeth. And no matter how many times you put lumineers or veneers or bondings on my type of teeth, it doesn't last for that long because my teeth are so yellow behind it that I constantly need to keep changing them. So it's kind of different than other people who get veneers and lumineers and bondings. It's hard to explain because I think most people don't understand what I'm talking about, but I was always very insecure.
I know. I know what you're talking about. What was it like going back to school, though? Because that's did your mom's words help then? Did you feel like you had some?
I think it did. Support? I mean, it was in first grade. And looking back now, I don't remember anything really from first grade. That's, I think, my only memory is that. And I think I have memories where I felt different. Because I know after that, I stopped smiling. And I think I didn't even talk to boys until I was 17 or 18 when I finally got my first boyfriend. And I was very shy with guys because in my head I always thought, like, why would any boy ever even want to kiss me? And then what if he kissed me? And then I have to explain to him what's wrong with my teeth. And then he would be so grossed out by me, like, because I didn't give him a heads up before and then he wouldn't talk to me. And that was in my thoughts. Because when it doesn't even matter what you really look like, when someone constantly tells you that you're ugly, or there's something wrong with you, eventually when you're going to look at yourself in the mirror, you're going to believe them and you're going to see it too. So for me, when I, growing up and here and there, if girls didn't like me, they were bullying me about my teeth, like I believed them. And that's why I was so scared to talk to boys. I remember when I moved to the U.S. and the first boy, I was walking home with these two guys and a girl and this guy that was walking next to me. He was like, oh, you have such a cute smile when you smile because I have dimples. And I was in tears and I was just like, why would you make fun of me? Because no. I just assumed he was making fun of me.
You didn't believe him.
And I remember I just didn't like to smile. I was so envious of other people that have perfect teeth. And no matter how many times I changed them, I was so insecure about it. And I remember before I came out, quote unquote, on daddy issues, because I was anonymous and I was going to do a whole reveal thing. I was still very scared about my teeth and I was scared that I was like, okay, I love myself now and I'll be fine with people making, I know that me coming out, quote unquote, revealing myself is going to cause some people to be mean to me. This is normal on the internet. But I don't know if I can handle anyone making fun of my teeth because that's such a painful memory for me for not loving myself for so many years because of it that I felt the need to completely cosmetically redo my whole teeth before revealing myself because it was such a big insecurity for me.
So you really did that?
Yeah, and they cost $1,800 a tooth. So you can calculate, if I have my whole mouth done, redoing my veneers, it's $1,800 a tooth. you can count how much that cost me. But that's how necessary it was for me to do that little part, because I was like, I can handle people making fun of me with anything, but I can't handle teeth again. Like, that's the one thing I got to, that was my one insecurity. And I don't think I talk about it, I think, even to my friends that often, about how painful it has been for me, especially not to my parents, because I always felt, I always felt too bad to complain to my parents if I was bullied about it, because there's nothing they could do about it, and I don't want them to feel bad. So I just kept it to myself.
Oh my God. I know, if, I mean, I have an 8-month-old, and just the thought of her coming home from school one day and just anyone being mean, it's, I don't know how I would deal. I have that with my sisters and my brother. Like, if anyone is ever busy with them, like, I fully lose my ability to stay cool about it. But that's the thing. And also kids, like, everyone has that thing that they're insanely insecure about. Like, everyone has it, right? Whether it's, you know, our teeth. I was always super insecure about my height when I was little. I had no boobs and I was really tall, like, since really young.
So how tall are you?
The boys, I'm 5'8 now, but I was, so I'm not like freakishly tall, but I was, I grew really fast. So I was always taller than all the boys in school when I was like 11, 12, 13 there. And they would always make fun of me that I was like, God, I have to translate this in English, like a washboard, I guess. Like, I was tall and flat chested for a long time. And I had a lot of friends, like, I was popular in school, like, I wasn't bullied per se, but that was like the thing that the boys would always say. So I remember going home and then for the first time realizing, wow, like, I really have no boobs. No one's ever going to like me. I'm never going to get a boyfriend.
Aww.
Like, everyone around me is, you know, they have boobs and they're buying bras and I didn't have anything. And I remember going home and then putting like toilet paper and stuffing like a sock and stuff in a bra that I had bought, like, you know. And then one day I came to school and I was like, oh, I have boobs now. And I remember my friend was like, what's in your bra? And I was like,
what
do you mean? I have breasts now. They grew overnight.
Always freakishly tall too. I was 5'8 as 12 and I hated being tall. And then my boobs started to develop and I was so insecure because the people in my grade did not have boobs. So I was so insecure by having boobs that I taped my whole chest with duct tape to help make it stop from growing, because like having boobs at 12. So one day my mom tried to wake me up and she touched me like on my back or something and she felt the duct tape. And she's like, Mamushka, что это? And that's in Russian. Like, what is that? And I'm like,
what is that?
Mom, it's for my back. I'm having, like, I'm not standing straight or something like that. Like, it's to help my back. So then she bought me a back brace, and I was forced to wear it because I was too embarrassed to admit that I put duct tape around my whole chest to make my boobs stop from growing.
Oh my God, this is the saddest and funniest thing I've ever heard.
I know.
How long did you wear that back brace before?
I think maybe just for a few weeks before I was like, oh, Mom, I think I'm fine now. Thank you.
Oh, God. You see?
That's
so, like, it doesn't matter which way we go. Like, we have no boobs. Yes, you have no boobs. You feel insecure. You have big boobs. You feel insecure. Like, there's no, I don't know. And it is harder to be a girl. Like, that's the thing. I don't know what it's like to be on the other side, but I remember that, like, boys talking about girls. I remember the one girl we had in class who did have really big boobs and everyone was super jealous of her because the guys were always talking about how big her boobs were and how attractive she was and XYZ. And now I think about it, it must have been horrible for her, like, to be the one girl in school that all the guys are, like, pointing at and, you know, kind of talking about the whole time. Like, either way, you know, it's never going to be perfect. Like, the grass is always greener. It's always kind of shitty to be a teenager, no matter how we go. But that's the thing.
Exactly.
I don't think kids realize how it can affect someone else, whether it's something, you know, probably those kids talking about your teeth, like, they probably don't remember that today, you know? It's like,
no.
And with the internet, everything is worse. Like, everything is, because it's instant and you can pick on anybody from any place. And I mean, how do you deal with that when you get really, because you must get, I mean, too, I get it. And I have,
yeah, I mean,
I'm in the yoga world and in the yoga world, we love each other. How many per day?
I mean, I think I get like a lot of positive messages, but I definitely have mean people. I mean, it's so normal now. And it annoys me when people say, well, you should be used to it. Like, why are you offended? Just close your phone or close your computer. Or like, it comes with a job. Like, I'm sorry. First of all, I didn't realize my job was a real job, but like, okay, now that you're admitting that being a social media influencer or whatever is a job. Like, it doesn't come with the job. My job is to make people happy. My job is not to take pain from other people by having them bully me. Like, it doesn't come with
Hell
the job.
Yeah.
And I think that really pisses me off when people are like, you should be used to it. Like, no, I shouldn't. You should be used to being a better human being.
I love that. You should get used to being a better human being.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. Life is supposed to be a journey of seeking and discovering the big, meaningful things, love, purpose, experience, not trying to find your keys. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first ever tracking device. And now they've done it again with all new Tracker Pixel, the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things ever again. My husband and I have busy schedules and a small baby, 3 dogs and 2 goats. Digging through the house to find our phones and our keys that seem to disappear all the time is not something we have time for. Tracker to the rescue. Whenever you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. It even has powerful LED lights so you can find anything even in the dark. Lost your phone? Just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone rings even if it's on silent. You can even locate your item if it's miles away because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. Tracker makes a great gift, and during this holiday season, save 20% off of your order when you go to thetracker.com/yogagirl. That's thetracker.com/yogagirl for 20% off. thetracker.com/yogagirl.
Well, how do you address it then? Do you block people? Do you delete stuff? Or do you get into like drama in the comment section? Because I try to stay away from that. It's so hard.
I think in the past, sometimes when I would respond to someone being very mean, I would respond politely. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You must be going through something to be projecting it onto me. And I think whenever I would respond, the people would be like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. I was having a terrible day and I must have taken out on you. Like, I love you so much. I didn't mean it. And of course, on the inside, I want to be like, fuck you. But on the outside, I'd be like, yeah, no worries.
No worries. It's all good. Yeah.
Oh, you just told me to kill myself and call me a whore and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's fine. We're friends. Yeah.
But yeah, that's usually what I try to do. I try to respond in a very assholely sarcastic way where I'm polite back and they feel bad. But sometimes, I'm not going to lie, like sometimes I had moments that I was having a bad day. And to see someone else be mean to me, I'm just like, oh my God, can I catch a break? And I think I would sometimes respond like a regular human being. I'll be like, why do you have to be so mean? Like, why are you being so mean to me? Something like that. And then they feel even more awful. But it's the truth. Like, why? Why are you doing this to me?
But do you ever people apologize to you? Because I get really weird. I don't know. I sometimes get really weird messages from people where they write like beautiful things and, you know, they're talking about my baby or whatever thing that I've shared. And then all of a sudden there's like a huge hateful message, like something really, really horrible about, like, I had someone the other day, I shared a little snippet of me with my breast pump, like not my boobs, but like I was using a breast pump. And then my husband was at home with his friends. And then this woman wrote, like, in all caps, like, you are such a whore. I cannot believe you're slutting out like this, showing your breasts to your husband's friends. Like, put your breasts away. And it was just this horrible message. And then I scrolled up, and the message before that was like, oh my God, I love you so much. You're such an inspiration. And I'm just like, who is this person? Like, how can you, you know, say that you love someone and then the next breath call them a whore? Like, this just does not, like, compute.
That's just like
in my mind.
Like, sometimes to get attention, like they were just dying to get a response, and they're, because it happened to me. I made a comment about some show, and I was just like, because some show that I watch, and I try not to get involved again in politics or really anything that makes shows an opinion, because I do want to support people's both opinions, even if I agree with them or not agree. I know people don't follow me for my views; they follow me to make them happy, and I try to focus on that. But sometimes I can't help myself. And there was a show that I was watching. In the episode, they were making jokes about teachers masturbating to their students. And I thought that was so absurd, because I don't find child molestation ever funny to me. And I didn't understand why no one said anything. And I kind of made a comment about it. And some girl DM'd me and attacked me and was like, you act like this fat whore that's constantly sucking dick, and you act like fat on the weekdays, but then on the weekends you're back to normal. I don't know, whatever she said was literally made no sense. And I was just like, I respond, I'm like, wait, what? When do I act like a fat whore? I'm like, first of all, you can see, not there's anything wrong being heavier. I was like, you can see my pictures. You know I'm skinny. What does that have to do with my eating habits? And I was like, secondly, when do I talk about ever being a whore? I think I encourage people to have sex, but I always talk about how I don't have sex often, even if any, ever at all. So I'm like, where's this? I'm like, sorry that I got upset over child molestation, because maybe it's some things that happened to me as a child, or people to my friends happened as a child. Like, I'm so confused.
Well, isn't it like universally okay to not laugh about child molestation? Like, I'm very
yes.
confused.
Me too. But anyway, after that, she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was having the worst day. And again, like, those are the people that weird me out. Cause I remember this girl also commenting on my picture saying, like, I love you so much. So then when she was like, you're a fat whore who sucks dick and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? I've had those before. Those people that are like, you're so amazing. And then another comment suddenly like, you're disgusting. Ew, what the hell? You're a slut. Stuff like that. I'm like,
but I think the scary thing is how attached people get to this online world.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to just, I live on a tiny island in the middle of nowhere. Like, I have an 8-month-old baby and a husband, and like teach yoga for a living. Like, for me, it's at least very easy to stay like, okay, this is my life. And then here is the internet, where I'm blessed with this community that supports me, and I can travel and create things and really focus on what I want to do with my life. But people that live their entire lives and they're so obsessed with other people that they actually get that involved, you know, with someone, because these people, they've never met you. And most of the people that write me horrible things, they've never met me either, but they're so insanely involved. And I'm wondering just what kind of, like, I never know how to respond to that. Like, I don't want to be the person that, you know, I don't want anyone obsessing over what I do. I like to be an inspiration, or, you know, share things that make people happy. Yes.
Yeah,
but
it's hard. It kind of weirds me out. Human and want a response. I think, like, I think a while back on Facebook, somebody wrote a rude comment to me, and I responded, being sarcastic back, like saying, like, "Oh, I bet you're one of those people at Target that has to speak to the manager," or like, "Don't you have better things to do? Like, go to Target and ask to speak to the manager," or like something like that as a joke. And then I was attacked. So they were like, "Violet, you should know better than to be like putting someone else down," something like that. When like this girl was so mean to me. But me responding back, like, I'm a public figure and I should know better. Like, I'm not allowed to be offended. But even though she just completely put me down, called me an idiot, a whore, whatever, like, I can't defend myself because I should know better. And stuff like that really sucks. So I think it's, because imagine if you actually responded to one of these people, people would come against you for attacking them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the, I don't know, whenever I ever respond to anything like that, I always get 10 people that write, "Why do you always focus on the negative?" And I'm like, I never focus on the negative. I get, first of all, I get very little of this. I focus only on the positive. But then that one time someone is horrible to me, like, can I not just respond and kind of set them straight? And then all these people are like, all you do is highlight all the negative stuff. And then I'm like, I can't win. Like, I just can't win. Like, I just have to not.
Yeah, it's like, can we respond to negative comments? Is that the only way you're going to notice me, if I write something mean? And you're like, no, exactly. But I also do appreciate when people are invested in my life. Like, I think there's positives and negatives to it, because I know if I'm having a bad day, although it's fake love and you have to remember that, that if I'm having a bad day or like I cry about something and I kind of share it right away, I get so much love. And they're like, Violet, like, I don't really know you, but I feel like I do. And you've been through so much, especially remember last week, this happened to you and this and that. And like, I'm just here for you, blah, blah. And it's just like, that's so sweet that you're like, okay, I'm going to keep going then. Thank you.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. Magazines are a great resource to keep us informed on news and social issues from credible sources, and they give us moments of inspiration and comic relief just when we need them. With a new app called Texture, you can access over 200 premium magazines in one place on your tablet or phone. The Texture app has gone beyond delivering just the magazine itself. Texture makes it easy to find and enjoy articles that you want to read, with exclusive interactive features and more. The Texture app is entirely digital, so it's an environmentally friendly way to consume the best magazines and articles out there. Texture is also searchable. You can mark what you like, check out back issues, view bonus video content, and even experience curated articles and magazines just for you or whoever you are gifting Texture to this holiday season. Texture makes magazines easy, and there are so many great ones included, like some of my favorites, Women's Health, Oh, the Oprah Magazine, and Time Magazine. Imagine having your favorite magazines and their back issues anytime, anywhere. To start your Texture free trial, go to texture.com/yogagirl. If you choose to continue after your free trial, all From the Heart listeners will get Texture for just $9.99 a month. That's over 30% off the listed price. There are also great gift options available for the holiday season. Go to texture.com/yogagirl to start your free trial today. That's texture.com/yogagirl. texture.com/yogagirl.
But I mean, the whole reason that this works, and I think that's what you and I, we have that in common, but in two like different sides of the spectrum, is vulnerability, right? So daring to be real, even if it's not perfect, or, you know, even if it's sometimes ugly or embarrassing or whatever, if we're sad or whatever's going on, like having the ability to share that and be raw, there's nothing more. Like, that's way more inspiring than that picture-perfect Instagram model, you know, going on her private jet or whatever people follow. I don't know.
I think so.
But is it hard for you to show that side?
Of being vulnerable? I think sometimes, because I'm a very secretive person, which people would never imagine, would never guess, because I share so much. But I'm naturally a secretive person. Like, I keep everything about my family to myself. Whenever I'm upset, like, no one knows. So it was kind of a struggle for me to sometimes share vulnerability, but and I feel embarrassed before I do it. But I always tell myself, like, Violet, who cares about you being embarrassed or uncomfortable? If this is going to make, even if it makes one person feel better about themselves, this is what you're doing this for. So then that's.
But don't you feel better too? Don't you feel better too, like after having shared something or you know, gotten something off of your chest? Because I find that, at least, like in the beginning, I would do it thinking, oh, okay, if I share this, I'm going through this struggle, it's gonna help people that feel the same. But now it's become this practice of mine where it's just, if I immediately get things off of my chest, like, it makes me lighter, like I don't have to carry that around so much.
Yeah, I guess that is a good way of, like, therapy stuff, that if you actually talk about it, does get better. But I mean, I'm still going through it. Like, I'm a very, like I said, secretive person. So it is sometimes hard for me, because the way I was raised to be perfect, sometimes I have to remind myself, okay, Violet, it's fine if you're sharing something. Like, this is going to make you feel better. And then it does make me feel better. But sometimes I really am doing it because I'm scared to do it, to share something personal, but I'm only doing it with the hopes that it can help someone else and looking past my embarrassment. Although there's nothing I should be embarrassed of, but it's just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a scary thing to constantly put yourself every day out there to the world. Like, I don't think people understand how much courage it has to be. I mean, even when I revealed myself, I had to be okay with the fact that, like, oh my God, I just talked about sex. And not everyone's going to know me. And I'm a little fearful now when I'm walking down the street, or like I'm out at a club at night, if there's men who follow me and know that it's me, because what if they think this is really who I am, with my alter ego making all these sex jokes, and they're going to think that, like, I'm going to want something without saying it? Like, it can be scary.
Do you have experiences like that? Have you had experiences that like that? I mean, now, speaking of, you know, the Me Too movement and all of this, have you had anything personal, horrible go down in terms of men and harassment?
Yeah, I've definitely had a sexual harassment, I think, my whole life, because, I mean, I was a very developed girl at the age of 12. Don't want to get into it. That probably not as much, but I think I'm more vocal about being irritated now. But yeah, when I revealed myself, I think I was very cautious when it comes to men, because I don't want them to think that I'm asking for anything when I'm not. And I think constantly I get... it can be frustrating if people don't understand the daddy issues of my alter ego. And it's not who, I mean, it is who I am in real life, but it's not who I am every day, every morning of the day in real life. Like, I'm not waking up and, you know, taking shots of tequila. Like, I would be in rehab right now if that was the case, like, you know?
No, of course. But isn't that so frustrating, though? Like, a guy can talk about sex and then he's just being a dude. But if a woman does it, then you're asking for it, or, you know.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's like, I talk about sex. I'm a sex comedian. A man talks about sex and he's like charming. You're like, oh, okay. Like, there's definitely labels. Like, I'm labeled as a sex comedian just because I talk about normal things everyone thinks about. It is frustrating, but like I try to roll with it. Does it annoy me on the inside sometimes? Definitely, especially if like I'm being categorized like that. So then when I want to be like a host on E, I'm getting gigs to be a host for like a sex show. And I'm like, what?
And that would never be the case for a guy. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I like to think that you're playing a really big part in changing that. Like really, the more courage we have as women just to speak up about this and speak about the same things that any man would speak about and not have this be an issue or be set aside as different just because of our gender.
Well, I think I encourage girls to be independent. Like, you know, I have daddy issues, but I've never depended on other men for anything for me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Like, you know, I wish I could, you know, am I allowed to say dirty words on this podcast?
We've already said a lot of dirty words.
Okay, cool. I mean, I wish I could, like, you know, suck dick and then get, like, a purse for it. Not that I wish, but, like, I wish, like, you know, instead of just doing it for free sometimes, like, and then the guy doesn't call you. Like, that's, you know, I wish, at least, you're not going to call me, like, give me a purse. But, you know, I'm so jealous of these other girls. Like, so I would never be here putting down girls who do that. Like, you know, that's on you. You got to do what you can to survive. But like, I was never like that because I just always focus on working hard. And I think that's where I'm helping girls with that stigma. Like, you know, I have daddy issues, but I never found a man to help me with anything. I've worked really hard for everything I have.
How does your dad like this career? Does he have issues with you now? Does he have daughter issues now that you're publicly issues?
luckily we have a good, better relationship now than I did growing up. So I think because we were working on our relationship before I started this Instagram, it was easier for me to eventually tell him, because I think because we were working on trying to become closer, he was kind of having to accept my Instagram and to be okay with it and all that. And like, he tries to be supportive now, and I ask my parents not to go on my Instagram. And, you know, I tell them what they can look and what they can. Because they come from a conservative family. But I think it's funny. It's always the conservative people who are more, like, dying to talk about sex and stuff like that.
Of course. Yeah. Need to let it out. But that's good. But I know you've had a really crazy day, just specifically today. What are you working on right now? Like, what's in the future for you?
So today I'm relaunching my Daddy Issues shop. I'm really excited about it. There's like new merchandise. I first launched in February of this year for Valentine's Day. And it was like these dirty greeting cards where I wrote funny, dirty poems. And people like loved them. It did so well. And there was some apparel. But then I decided to switch all my vendors and to redo the website, to redo my brand. So that took me a few months to build. And today is supposed to be the relaunch with like my new slogan, my new website, and new merchandise. So I'm really excited for that.
Oh, that's so exciting. I mean, where do you see the future of Violet Benson and the future of Daddy Issues? What's your big dream? Like 5 years from now, where do you want to be?
One of my biggest dreams would be, because I know when I started my Instagram and it was getting big, I told myself, like, oh my God, Violet, you are one of the luckiest people who gets to have a voice, and you need to make that voice matter. So my goal from when I started till now, and I constantly remind myself this goal, is to help people when it comes to being an advocate for anti-bullying and depression. So, and I'm going to continue to try to be an advocate for it even stronger in the years to come. So I think my biggest goal would be that I have a charity or an organization that helps people with depression and dealing with bullying and stuff like that. That's my number one. And then the rest of it is I would love for my shop to be cool and hip and to be like the next Nasty Gal, if anyone knows what that is. It's not a porn site. It's a clothing company. Like Daddy Issues, Nasty Gal.
Daddy Issues and Nasty Gal. Well, that's a good fit.
Yeah, and I would love to also give my hosting skills a try. Like, I would love to be on TV doing hosting stuff. That would be the goal. Right now, I have a hosting show on Facebook. It's called Top 5 with Viola Benson. But I'm in the works right now for shows that I wrote and unscripted stuff. So hopefully in the next few years, all of that would be more out. And yeah.
That's so exciting. I think there's no doubt wherever you go, you have the world supporting you for sure. I'm really grateful just to have you in my feed. You're bringing a smile to my face every day.
No, I was surprised.
So thank you for
me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
You wouldn't think, but I think honestly, every woman out there can relate to what you share. That's just what it is.
Thank you.
No matter where we come from.
Are you guys gonna edit this? Because I know I talked a lot. I'm sorry.
No, we don't edit anything. This podcast is all about raw, real shit. So.
Okay. Awesome.
All is out there. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and thanks for being such an inspiration and for just being yourself all the way through. So awesome.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for being awesome. I mean, you have a really cool story behind you as well. So, I mean, you're definitely an inspiration to a lot of people too.
Thank you. And hey, good luck with your cat.
Oh, I know. Thank you. And my shop is shopdaddyissues.com. I think I didn't say that.
Shopdaddyissues.com. Okay, I'm going to log on right now. A huge thanks to my guest and my new favorite person, Violet Benson. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And of course, don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and thanks to my sponsors, Satya Jewelry, Parachute, Tracker, and Texture. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.